Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's a hard time. We had a hard time together. Together. Yes, it's a hard time. We had a hard time together.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. My relationship with cannabis goes back 26 years, and I'm still learning new things and honing my experience. Recently, I had the thrill of connecting with a person whose work outlined my path to living a cannabis for wellness lifestyle. So if you're a fan of this podcast, you can thank today's guest for the inspiration. Michael Backus is best known for writing the book that became my cannabis Bible. In Cannabis Pharmacy, Michael details the medicinal effects of a wide variety of cannabis cultivars and the myriad uses of cannabis as a medicinal tool. Michael founded and ran the first evidence-based medical dispensary in the United States, providing his clientele with premium fresh products and custom effects. Most recently, as founder and chief product officer of Perfect, Michael developed live resin-infused flower as a solution to delivering you the same effects and a consistent cannabis experience again and again. At Perfect, they simplified the cannabis quote-unquote buying and trying experience by intentionally designing unique premium products that are named to clearly communicate what's inside. Sourced from a handful of California growers, including a winner of 13 Emerald Cups, each Perfect blend has been formulated from multiple cultivars of 100% cannabis flower and cannabis oil. The process is informed by over a decade of research on how terpenes and monoterpenes work together to create distinct effects. And the end result is a new type of infused flower product that has a consistently fresh from harvest taste and a full entourage effect. Michael explains to us their process and how it all works. I'm telling you, Michael offers a wealth of knowledge, and in this podcast, we discuss a number of important things that matter to you as a consumer. Michael explains why sun-grown flower is definitively superior to indoor flower, and he shares some brainy reasons why you might want to consume CBD with your THC. We also talk about the relationship between cannabinoids and terpenes and the side effects of CBD and THC. We discuss dosing, what makes your heart racy, what makes you cough, and whether or not you're hitting your cannabis too hard. And if you prefer to vape your flower, we discuss utilizing your vaporizer optimally to get all of the medicinal goodness out of your next session. And Michael gives us pro tips for short and long-term cannabis storage. So settle in for this macro dose of cannabis know-how. It's time to get casually baked.
It's a hard time. We had a hard time together. Together.
Michael Backus, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast.
Thank you.
I have to admit, I have been a fan of yours for quite some time. I have your first edition, Cannabis Pharmacy, The Practical Guide to Medical Marijuana. And it really was the vehicle for me to understand how to use cannabis for my personal wellness, along with learning the history of cannabis and all these the different original landrace strains and things like that. So, you know, I really think out of all of the cannabis books that I've read or I see out there, yours is the most encompassing of all the parts. So if anybody wants to like up their cannabis nerd game, this is the book for you.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, you kind of inspired me to do a second edition, and I'm working on the third edition now. And that's what I designed it for. I designed the book really to answer the questions that often were a little bit hard to get answered out there. I owned a dispensary, and I get hit with questions all the time. And frankly, I didn't know a lot of the answers until I started to research the book.
And you come from a research background in, is it in the film or entertainment industry?
Yeah, a little bit. I worked on books with Michael Crichton, the guy who wrote Jurassic Park, for quite a while. And I also worked in the film business as a writer and a visual effects supervisor on movies.
So you know that attention to detail is everything. You know, when I learned that little piece of trivia about you, I was like, yeah, I can tell that just by reading this book.
Thank you. That's very kind.
So I love that you are all about evidence-focused, science-based product development and research. And so I would love for you to impart some of your wisdom today on the things that matter to us as cannabis consumers, like the dosing piece and finding the right cultivar or strain to help us feel what we want to feel and how to properly store it. And all of these things that you have spent so much time getting down into the weeds on so that you could create the perfect blend.
Exactly. I ended up at Perfect, my current company, because Dean Hollander, my partner, along with Mo Isern, we really wanted to make the cannabis purchasing experience repeatable. The worst thing that could happen to someone when they came into a dispensary that I ran was they'd fall in love with a particular cultivar or strain, and then the crop-to-crop variation would jump in, and it wouldn't be the same the next time they got it, and they'd be disappointed. And they start to pine for it. You know, it's like, you remember that blue dream you had from that one farm in Santa Barbara? And it's painful. You know, I've had the same thing. I mean, I'd find an old haze strain. I like haze varieties. And I can never find it again because people stopped growing haze because it takes so long to flower it that it wasn't commercial. And it's gotten really bad today. It's gotten really bad because everybody's growing the same thing. And so I'm on the advisory board for the Emerald Cup, which is kind of the Oscars of weed.
Yeah.
And the thing that's interesting about the Emerald Cup is that 65% of the entries last year fell into the same terpene profile. All right. But there are 9 major terpene profiles. So it's like going to a restaurant and they only have ravioli with blue cheese sauce tonight. You better like it. but it has all these different names on it. You know, it has a ravioli with Azure cheese sauce. You know, I mean, it's like, and it's gotten ridiculous because with all the name games, consumers don't realize that they only have access to a very narrow range of high THC cultivars, and that's it. And I want to change that. I really do.
Yeah. And I like the approach that you've taken, but, you know, while we're talking about that and the Emerald Cup and whatnot, you know, this age-old thing of indoor versus outdoor, and I've been following along with some Southern Humboldt farmers who are working with some scientists who are doing some really deep dives on the terpene profiles and doing experiments where they're growing the exact same thing indoor, outdoor, and doing these tests and just showing these ranges of terpenes in sun-grown flower that just aren't there in the indoor flower. So
true. I went through that with ACDC, which is a CBD cultivar. And we weren't getting particularly high terpene or cannabinoid levels when we grew it indoors. In fact, for the most part, ACDC only became ACDC when it got full sun. It's easy to understand because, you know, a plant is a biochemical factory and it requires energy to operate. And if that energy is coming from artificial light, the intensity will be nowhere near that of the sun. And so if you want to have a really, you know, efficient factory that's producing as much as it can produce, in this case, the cannabis plant, the sun's the best way to do it. There's just absolutely no question. And the evidence will support that. I mean, I don't even have to wait for the results of the studies, because I know what it's going to say.
So, you know, how are, as far as the testing goes, to, you know, because we're only in California, the labs only test for these certain, would you say, the nine major terpenes?
Terpene groups.
Okay.
So those are the predominant terpenes. Then there's like, you know, there's 50 or so that show up in very small amounts. Sometimes not at all, but usually they're like 20 that show up, you know, enough to move the needle on the instruments upon which these samples are being tested. But we don't really know all their pharmacology yet. You know, we're just starting to learn. Like when I blended Perfect Blends, I'm really trying to blend the cultivars, focusing on things in the plant, terpenes in the plant, and cannabinoids in the plant that I know move the needle. Mm-hmm. But these other compounds, these other, you know, terpenes and esters, aldehydes, alkanes, all these different compounds, they're found in smaller amounts. And some of them are probably quite potent. And therefore, even though they're in smaller amounts, they're affecting the medicinal or adult use outcome.
Yeah, they all have their own nuance that they're adding to the entourage effect.
Right. Because I find that if you try to sit, like if you try to just recreate a profile from, let's say, the top four or five terpenes, it's not going to feel like the real thing. All right. There's a lot of subtlety that goes on. So that's why I don't just take, you know, terpenes off the shelf and pour them in a bucket and stir it up and add some cannabinoids and try to make a product, because you don't get the same range. Matter of fact, the farther away you get from the plant, the more it becomes kind of one note as opposed to the orchestra. And I'm really interested in these kind of orchestral entourage effects that come when you have a very, very complex mixture of cannabis compounds.
You know, when I first started learning about this, I bought your book early 2015, and it was so helpful for me to read about each of these cultivars until I could find the ones that I'm like, oh, this looks like the one that's going to help me the most. And then, you know, I might try one of them and I get really heart racy or, you know, something would happen. So then it's like, okay, did I take too much of that? Or was there a terpene in there that, you know, I wasn't vibing with? And so by being curious and going in with enough information, I was able to kind of figure out which terpenes, kind of like terpenylene. If I have too much of that, that's the one that makes me really racy and kind of feel like there's an elephant on my chest.
Okay. So, you know, what's really interesting is I call terpenylene a windowpane terpene. The truth is, to everything I know, it doesn't do very much. What it does do is it lets the THC come right through the window. And what happens is it's the THC that's making your heart race. And you could test that by just trying a little pure THC. And it mm-hmm. would be indistinguishable from THC and terpenylene together. And that's you're raising a very, very common issue. Now, what typically would make your heart race even more than pure THC is pure THC with some caryophyllene.
I have pure THC in a capsule format that I can, like an inhalable.
Inhalable, yes. If you ate it, of course, it's going to turn into 11-hydroxy THC, which is a different drug. But and caryophyllene, I think, is the one thing I found that pretty consistently adds a lot to the speedy effect of THC. And so if I'm like our product Pick Me Up, is designed for kind of focus and energy. And typically pick me up is pretty jumpy. Now at low doses, it's fine. Matter of fact, at low doses, I find it helps people kind of focus. And we call it a counting weed around the office. So because people will smoke it and they'll do the taxes.
Yeah. I smoked one of these yesterday while I was editing a show, and I took like one dose, you know, a few puffs, but then I smoked the rest of it and I did get a little jumpy. I was like, I thought it was the terpenylene because I could really smell that turpentine smell on it. And so I just thought, well, I guess that's what it is. But now I know. Yes.
So that dry, woody turpentine smell you're getting is from the alpha and beta pinene. So alpha and beta pinene doesn't smell like pine trees, which is what I used to think. Oh, it must smell like pine trees. It smells like pine wood. It's that woody smell, like when you take a pine log and you toss it in the fireplace and you get that dry smell. That's that terpy thing. And with terpenylene together and a little limonene, you're going to start to get like a Christmas tree aroma.
All right. I love this. This is fun. And I wore my favorite terpene shirt today just for this conversation.
I saw it. Pretty cool.
The big ones.
Exactly.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the dosing, since there's like a scale, you know, and there's microdosing all the way up. There's a benefit to this microdosing thing, but can you just kind of talk us through that piece and then maybe what you did with Perfect?
Sure. Well, I mean, the reality is that one of our little mini, the dog walker style, is actually a macro dose. I mean, if you smoke that, it will move the needle in a big way. What I consider to be a micro dose is about 75 milligrams of cannabis or one of our blends. That's how I design our blends to be dosed. And our blends come in a couple different formats. One is just what looks like ground flour, what we call prepared flour, and it's infused with high terpene extracts from cannabis and THCA crystal, just to get the THC level to the same range every time. So you don't get any surprises. It's not weak one time and super strong the next. But so when I'm dosing, I'm kind of always basing it on, okay, about 75 milligrams of flower, what will it do? And that's the equivalent of about 3 or 4 match heads.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm getting out the little box to show people.
So those contain a third of a gram, okay? And so a third of a gram is going to be a little over 300 milligrams.
For size. Okay?
Right. So about 300 milligrams. So in reality, it's about 4 of our smaller doses. And for most people, a dog walker is going to be about 8 doses. Okay. And that's the way you should think about it. I can get about 8 doses out of this. And so when you use one, you'll start to see how much you're going through and how you feel at different ranges. And what's great is because our batches don't vary batch to batch, you can hit that dose level again and get that same terpene effect and same cannabinoid effect every time. That's what we're trying to do.
And you actually were just awarded a patent on your process, correct?
Yeah, the patent is on just how we put all these things together and how we stabilize them.
There's really not very many guarantees in cannabis that you can have a consistent experience every time. People may say that, but it's not necessarily true. So what y'all have done here, the 3 that I know about are Nightcap, Pick Me Up, and Happy Camper.
Uh-huh.
And they and
we
are.
We have a 4th on the launch pad, but can't really talk about it today, but we're going to announce it in a few weeks.
Okay, well, this is exciting. They told me they would mail it to me, but it didn't arrive in time. So I'm not even in on the secret, but I look forward to it.
Well, if they were going to mail it to you and you just haven't gotten it yet, it's a new one for intimacy and connection called Sex Pot.
Oh, okay.
What's interesting about it is the purpose of that is, the thing is that, you know, when we're intimate and we're trying to be connected, we really want to be pretty much in control We don't want to be out of control. So the idea is to provide a high where you don't really get stoned. You don't get impaired. So you've got your faculties, you're high, you're happy, you're having a good time, but you're in control. And we just think that that's the basis of having fun during intimacies, is being in control and just being happy.
So. I like this. Yeah, well, and you can release your inhibitions, but, you know, not feel like you're being sloppy.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's it. I mean, I'm not trying to make something that's the equivalent of four martinis. I'm trying to make something that has the euphoria and the relaxation and the sense of agency that you're in control.
Yeah. So what terpenes are in that?
Well, there's a couple of things that are new in it. Okay. So some terpenes that you've seen before, but we also found kind of a minty strain that we like that has a little tiny bit of menthol and eugenol in it. And those are good because they make it much smoother. Mm. And that's a great thing. And then on top of that, we add a little bit of CBD flower, a little bit of CBDV flower, and also their acids. And what you get with that is you get it just smooths out the sensation so that you never feel like you've even approached taking too much. And what's great is that increases the range of dose you can use dramatically, because a lot of people are really scared of THC cannabis because it's often over 25% THC. And so there's no real safety net, and it's easy to take too much. And in our formulation of this, we've taken that problem away. And really, we've tested it quite a bit now with people who, you know, used to, like, have tried cannabis a couple times and said, this is not for me. I don't like this drug. It doesn't work for me. I get anxious. I get self-conscious, yada, yada, yada. And with this product, you don't have that problem. And
that's
in fact,
fantastic.
It may actually get us to revisit some of our formulations for our other products, because when this showed up, it was like, well, why don't all our products do that? And so I think we may be going that direction in the future.
You know, and the thing about the making it a smoother hit, you know, there are some cannabis cultivars that, you know, I can just like really start coughing. And I know that some of them are bronchodilators, and so that coughing is part of it. Which terpenes are those that make us cough like that?
So okay, that's a fantastic question. So what it is that we're hitting cannabis too hard when we smoke it. And so the way to gauge it is to stand in front of a mirror and look at the cherry on the joint, okay? Or look at the weed in the bowl, and pay attention to the color. If it starts to go really light yellow towards white, you're burning the cannabis at too high a temperature. And that temperature is controlled by how hard you're drawing. And so what we say is sip, don't rip.
Yeah.
And the reason is that when you rip, that high temperature breaks terpenes into polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons that are intensely irritating to your lungs and your throat. And anytime somebody is getting a lot of harshness or delivering a dose of smoke to the cough center in the upper airway, you're going to cough. And, you know, there used to be this myth, oh, you got to cough to get off. Simply not true.
I used to hate hearing that because I've always been a sipper. Yeah. I don't take giant rips, but it feels like there are certain ones that I just cough more.
Right. I'm mildly asthmatic because of an allergy that I have. And I got to be really careful because I can really cough. And so I've really learned to like take it light. And then when I saw this evidence from a study that was conducted by Robert Strongen at Portland State, where he's trying to figure out like how this stuff works and at different temperatures, like what happens when you combust cannabis. And what he found through his studies were that the the higher the temperature, the more likely you were to break terpenes into these Lego blocks, these isoprene units, that then reform to make these polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, which are just super, super irritating and often cancer-causing. And so you really don't want to expose yourself to them. So you need to control how fast you hit a joint, for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's a hot take on an old problem. I had one of my friends that worked at Firefly, the vaporizing company, several years ago. And so he had given me basically a cooking scale, like, you know, where each of the terpenes and cannabinoids burn off and you know, why when we combust, we lose so much. And I use hemp wick, which I think helps, but, you know, rather than using a lighter, but stuff like the Firefly vaporizer to really have the, like, best experience with your flower, those things are the way to go.
Right, but they work differently. And so I love vaporizers, and I have a Firefly. I've got a lot of vaporizers. I've got a Storrison Bickel Mighty and a Volcano. But vaporizing is smoking in extreme slow motion. And what happens is you get these really volatile terpenes coming off first. That has all the flavor. So when you use a vaporizer, you notice, oh, wow, this is so floral, yada, yada, yada. And the second that starts to dip, people think they've exhausted the vaporizing load. And that's completely wrong, because cannabinoids have no taste. And in fact, you're going to get the terps first, and you're going to start to get heavier compounds like the cannabinoids later. And what happens is you have to really be patient and take a smaller load and take a lot more hits to get all of the cannabinoids off the vapor load. And the thing that's interesting about that is you'll hear people say, oh yeah, I take my, after I vape it, I go and cook with it. Well, if you actually vaped it correctly, there wouldn't be anything in it to cook with. The cannabinoids would be in you rather than sitting in the waste. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to be more patient and take some time to do it. It works great.
Yeah. And I think that was one of my cons of it, was that it took so long, you know, where I'm just like, I'm not getting that instant gratification high that I want. And so this takes longer. But yeah, you're right. Like after the terpenes burn off, and then you know, you're continuing, you have to kind of stir it a little bit so it doesn't burn at the bottom, but it's kind of this almost burned popcorn smell or something after that.
Right. But there's often, you know, there's often goodness to be found there, but there's also, you got to be careful, because, you know, that burned popcorn smell, that burned cooking oil smell, that can be caused by acrolein, and those are not good to inhale. So it's finding this balance when you're vaping. I think that like really just watching how fast you're hitting when you smoke, if you can smoke, is probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Because then you get the gratification and you're not necessarily exposing yourself to so many combustion products that aren't so good.
And it's just easy.
It is super easy.
So one of the things I heard you say in a conversation with someone else in regards to like daily cannabis consumers, how it changes their receptor density, therefore changing whether or not, you know, they get less high than someone else or whatever. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, the thing is that you know, these cannabinoids and to a lesser degree, some of the terpenes mimic your body's own cannabinoids, the endocannabinoids. And one of the principal sites for your own cannabinoids in your brain is the CB1 receptor. And beginning, I think, at the National Institutes of Health, they started doing brain scans on people who were daily users of cannabis. And what they did was they took a very slightly radioactive molecule and they attached it to the THC. And they injected it into these people and then brain scanned them. And they could see how dense those receptors were in the brain, how many of them they were, and how densely packed they were in certain structures of the brain. And the thing they found was is that the density went down the higher the daily consumption of cannabis was in those people. And what's interesting, it's called downregulation. And that downregulation could get pretty acute. And the joke I always say is that, you know, Snoop Dogg has to smoke so much weed because he only has one cannabinoid receptor left. And it takes all that weed to find it. And when it does, he's good to go. But the thing is that the thing to know is that after 3 days of abstinence, those receptors will start to come back in quantity in many brain structures, okay? In 28 days, and this was proven initially in this NIH study, you get it almost all back. You get like a complete 100% reset of your tolerance. We call it tolerance often, the tolerance to THC. But except in one structure in the brain called the hippocampus, and the hippocampus is linked to memory and learning. And it takes, in the 28-day study, it didn't come back to normal, and there was some concern whether or not that was permanent or not. And the Australian university decided to prove that it was a permanent change, but they found that after 6 months it came back of abstinence, it came back completely. However, they found something really interesting in the Australian study, which was they were doing hair samples for cannabinoids, and they found that the people who had both CBD and THC in their hair, their hippocampuses were indistinguishable from people who'd never used cannabis at all.
Yes.
And what they basically thought was is that CBD effectively works like a seatbelt for THC. So THC definitely has some downsides to it. In the impact on cognition and learning, mainly learning and memory. But those seem to not be present in people who take CBD at the same time. Now, I have a funny anecdote about that because I used to go out with people who would constantly try to get me really, really high. And I wasn't having a good time at all. And so I decided to try this myself. So what I would do is I take 60 milligrams of THC before I went out with them. And I was Superman. I could smoke them under the table because it protected those parts of my brain that would exhibit anxiety and, you know,
wait, you took 60 milligrams of CBD or THC?
CBD.
Okay. You had said THC,
sorry.
That's what I knew that's what you meant. Okay. So 60 milligrams of CBD before you went out, so you would be bulletproof again. So that's awesome. And I will say it was in your book that I learned that CBD would, you know, counter those effects of THC as far as the psychoactivity. And so I had been sharing that little nugget with
my friends. It maintains the psychoactivity, but it doesn't present the downside of the psychoactivity in my experience. And I think now we're starting to see that. There was a new study that's recently published that actually kind of showed that, demonstrated that very clearly, that like a 1-to-1 CBD to THC smoke caused no anxiety, where THC alone did it almost every time. Even in people who are relatively experienced when they reached a certain dose threshold.
Yeah. And see, and I always think that if I've taken, like I have these 50 milligram CBD tablets that I take in the mornings. And then if I were to smoke after that, I feel like I don't get as high either. So
it modulates the effect. Okay. So what it'll do is you won't get that instant thing that you normally get when the CBD isn't present. But it allows you to hang out for a lot longer. So because what will happen is it'll metabolize that THC most likely over a longer period of time.
All right. Now I want to shift gears and talk a little bit about how we're storing our cannabis. Because, you know, we hear And I say this all the time, store it in a cool, dark place, you know, out of the sunlight, that sort of a thing. But I don't ever go as so far as to say, put it in the refrigerator. And then you and I had a conversation a few weeks ago, and you just kind of blew my mind open about how I've been storing it and what I should do. So can you talk a little bit about the best way to do it and why?
Well, think of it this way. They're flowers. Okay, so if you go to the store to buy flowers, you go to the flower shop to buy flowers, where are they keeping them? They're keeping them in a refrigerated cabinet. There's a reason. It keeps them fresher. And even though these flowers are dried, it keeps them fresher. It keeps the aromatic compounds around. Okay, if you leave a rose out for a long time and just let it dry, okay, you'll notice that over time, the geraniol, the terpene responsible for the principal aroma of roses, will start to fade. Okay. Well, some of these compounds in cannabis, like myrcene at the top of your t-shirt there, they're super delicate. And at regular room temperature, you could lose half of the myrcene in a dried bud in 45 days. I worked on an experiment with Mark Lewis on that. Or Mark Lewis did the experiment and I benefited from it because I said, oh, that's really interesting. I can tell other people. But the way I look at this is keep it like you'd keep a vegetable. Keep it in the vegetable drawer of your refrigerator, tight, airtight, so the moisture in the vegetable drawer doesn't affect it. I wouldn't recommend a baggie. I'd recommend a glass jar with a decent lid. I like those silicone gasketed containers like jam jars that have the little snap thing on it with a little gasket, and that keeps it super airtight. And I get a dark one because light isn't the best thing either. So dark, airtight, and in the refrigerator drawer, and it really will increase how long your cannabis lasts. Now, you can, if you have oxygen packs, you can vacuum seal flower and stick it in the freezer and it'll last a lot longer. There's some question whether or not you lose terpenes at freezing temperatures through a process called sublimation, where things go from a liquid directly to a gas. From a solid directly to a gas or from a liquid to a gas just by themselves, just at a certain temperature range. And I'm concerned that there was a study in Israel that said that they notice more terpene loss at super freezing temperatures, like minus 80, than they did at normal freezer temperatures, let's say 0 degrees Fahrenheit. I find that at the rate I go through stuff, which isn't that fast, I like to keep it in the vegetable drawer because then when I reach for it, it's fresh.
Yeah, and the other thing about vacuum sealing it, is that you then are kind of crushing the flowers, the trichomes, things like that, which then that is doing some sort of a release of the terpenes and
no compounds. Question. But what you can do that's really cool is you don't have to vacuum seal it, but you can use a vacuum sealer to just seal a bag with a little air in it, like they do with potato chips. Mm-hmm. And before you do that sealing, throw an oxygen pack in, an oxygen absorber pack in. And that can keep stuff a really long time. I also learned that from Mark Lewis, because Mark was getting ready to open up a dispensary in Washington, D.C., and the city was slow to move. And so they'd given him permission to cultivate. He harvested, he tried it, he trimmed it, and then he had nowhere to take it. Mm. And he looked like he was going to be stuck with this harvest for months. And so he did that. He put it in silver Mylar bags, he sealed them, he threw an oxygen pack in. And what was amazing is that when he opened them up, a month later, it was literally like it was just harvested. So it also showed the importance of controlling oxygen around these terpenes that really helps them stay stable.
A few years ago, there was the kind of a rush on people doing the can where they've like packed it with nitrogen or something.
Right.
And so
that works. Yeah, that works.
If you're going to consume all of it right then.
Right.
Because I felt like it's, you know, after like the second day, it was like brittle and just kind of fell apart.
Right. Because that has a lot to do also with how wet it was when it was put in the can, yada, yada, yada. The other risk too is that if there are any anaerobic soil bacteria, like Clostridium, on that flour and you pack it with nitrogen, that can cause those very, very nasty bacteria that are anaerobic, that don't want oxygen around, to proliferate. And those bacteria can produce toxins, botulism toxin, which you don't want to be exposed to. So you got to be a little careful about modified atmosphere packaging in cannabis. But I think it's going to be solved. I mean, I think they do it with a lot of things. They do it with a lot of herbs. So I think we can certainly do it with cannabis. But we just have to know a little bit more.
So talk a little bit about your ultra fresh technology.
Well, the ultra fresh technology, it's basically just how we keep our blends fresh. So I'll tell you how we make our blends. We make our blends by, we choose the cultivars, the strains that we want to put together based on their terpene profiles.
And you're using sun-grown flower, I assume.
Yeah, sun-grown in greenhouse. And no indoor. It's just too expensive. And honestly, indoor looks great, but from a lab testing standpoint, it's often not nearly as great as any other, like sun-grown or greenhouse. So we choose the cultivars based on their terp profiles, and we harvest them, and we dry half the crop for each of the cultivars, and we fresh freeze the other half. With that fresh frozen half, we do a hydrocarbon extraction and purge the hydrocarbons, and what we're left with is we're left with a sauce. And in that sauce, we add a little bit, like just a little bit of THCA crystal, which encourages the crystallization of the rest of the THCA in that sauce. And when the crystals have formed, then we separate out the crystals and we end up with crystalline THCA and high terpene extract, HTE. Okay, so we've got those extracts. And then we chop the flower that we dried conventionally, the other half of the crop, and blend it together. And then we have a proprietary method for which we just got this patent to infuse those extracts into the dried chopped flower. And the reason we do that is that if you ever have an opportunity to visit a pre-roll factory, they smell really good. And the reason is, all the terpenes, the monoterpenes, are in the air, because when they chop it, it's no longer in the plant. And so what we're trying to do is, when we chop half the crop, we're losing almost all the monoterpenes. And we want to use the plant's own monoterpene profile and infuse it back into the plant. So we do an extract of the same plants and just put them back. And that's our ultra fresh technology, where we put it back and then we refrigerate it until we ship it off to the dispensary. Or in the case of California right now, we have a direct-to-consumer website where you can just go and order it and have it delivered directly to you, which is really great.
Yeah.
Because we're controlling more of the supply chain. And because of that, we can make sure the supply chain is cold and the product is well taken care of.
I love this. I'm very excited. And I have to tell you, you know, this sitting here, the terpenes just keep wafting at me because I didn't put it back in the little bag. But yeah, it has one of those little oxygen packs that you mentioned in it. And then, yeah, this is like the size of a little book of matches, three joints in it. And yeah, like the terpenes are just begging for you to smoke them.
Well, sip them, don't rip them, and you'll really get them. I mean, that's the thing is that the thing that's extraordinary, the reason that we focus so much on the terpene content of our products is that very, very few people have ever experienced dried, intact buds when they're sitting in the cure shed at the cultivation. That's when the flower is at peak ripeness as far as the drying process goes. And it's an amazing thing because the terps are just so intense, and it modifies the effects of THC so dramatically. The thing is that you don't realize how complex the effects of cannabis can be unless you've experienced how high the terpene content can be in fresh flower. So it's not like we're not exceeding, you know, we lab test the crop, and that gives us the benchmark for the terpene levels. We're not going past that. We're not trying to spike anything. We're not trying to overly concentrate the terps, because the truth is that I find it becomes more irritating to smoke them. You cough more. You got to find this right balance. And guess what? Nature has found the right level, and we respect that.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. Yeah. You know, that was one of the things when we had initially spoken about you talking about that first lab testing that was done and how CBD had almost been bred out of cannabis just because people were chasing, you know, the high. But then when you were able to really look at it, you were able to start, you know, strategically bringing it back.
And people around the state of California and in Spain started to find high THC plants. The thing was, is that normally, unless you're really experienced, when you smoke cannabis, you can't really tell there's CBD there. Okay, you don't really taste it. You're feeling the THC, but it's just stretching out the THC effect. You don't really feel the CBD that much. I mean, if you start to smoke high CBD flower exclusively, and there's almost no THC there, you're going to start to notice like what CBD feels like. High CBD flower definitely has psychoactivity to it. And the reason
would
I bring
you describe,
it up is,
that for someone.
Your anxiety goes away. Your social anxiety really goes away. So it's a fantastic social lubricant.
When we say psychoactivity, people just assume we're talking high, but it's not. It's the absence of the annoying thing.
Yeah, anxiety or being uncomfortable. CBD can just knock that out. And so what happened was, for decades, when cultivators were choosing seed to grow next year, they'd pull the seed from the plant that had the highest THC content, because without a lab around, that's all they had to judge by. And so what happened was, is that THC content went like this, and CBD content went like this, and effectively disappeared from the gene pool. Now it's back big time. I mean, now you have all of these breeders who are starting to pay attention to CBD content, and it's really making a big difference.
And you truly can have a customized experience with cannabis now.
Oh, no question. And yeah, I mean, that's the whole basis of Perfect. The whole basis of Perfect is I want to pick a few outcomes. Being happy. I mean, the great thing about, you know, you don't really have to ask yourself, what's this going to do? You know, if you go in and buy wedding crashers, okay, what's that going to do? help you crash a wedding? No. But with our products, the name tells you what you're going to feel. And it's not really, we're not priming you. It's not placebo. We'll talk about placebo in a second. But it's not placebo. In that case, I'm just doing the boldest things that I know cannabis is capable of doing, okay, which is lift your mood, happy camper, help you focus and give you a little bit of a jump start, pick me up, and relax at night, nightcap. That's all you need to know. You don't really have to sit there and go, what's the terpene profile of this? because the thing is that the reason you got to ask that is when you don't know what it's going to do. But with our stuff, we're really explicit. Here's what it's going to do. It does this for almost everybody we give it to, and we're pretty confident it's going to do it for you too. With SexPod, we're trying to do something a little different, which is we're going to try to take away the uncomfortableness, but keep you very, very, very much in control. And I think we've nailed it. So coming soon.
Yeah, I'm excited to try it.
Yeah, because you know what's really funny is now, like our beta test for SexPot, they just want to use it for everything. It's not just sex. It's like life isn't just about sex. I want to use this for like work and going out and having meetings. And, you know, I'm high, but I'm not stoned. And that was a direct quote from one of our beta testers.
That's fantastic. Yeah, everybody wants that. Now, okay, so you brought up the placebo effect. And, you know, one of the things as a cannabis lifestyle guide, I always talk about knowing your why before you choose something and then doing it in an intentional way. And so I found it interesting listening to you have another conversation about the dosage that's used in these clinical research studies being like 600 milligrams of CBD, but the jar that you have on your counter, there's not even 600 milligrams in the whole jar, and you're going to take that over 30 days. So tell me what you've learned in your research about the placebo effect.
Well, there's two things going on here. One is there's the placebo effect, which is if I tell you something is a performance enhancing drug and I give it to you, in fact, it's a sugar pill. If you're a competitive cyclist, you will likely record an incredible time. All right. And this has been shown over and over and over again that the placebo text that accompanies a drug really has a big impact on the perceived drug effect. And so it's important. I mean, I think you're right on in the sense that you've set an intention in the sense that, you know, I'm taking this to be happy. Okay. And I've taken it in the past and I was happy. So I'm going to take it this time and I'm going to be happy. Well, that will push you a little bit along the path to being happy. There's also another thing with cannabis compounds that's important. And that's the biphasic effect, meaning that cannabis compounds have one effect at low dose and another effect at high dose. Perfect example is THC and anxiety. At very low dose, a couple milligrams, THC can relieve mild anxiety pretty well. I don't recommend it for people with severe anxiety disorders, but if you've got just general, you're anxious about something, you're worried about something, a couple milligrams of THC can reduce it. If I give you 25 milligrams of THC and you're not used to THC, you're going to have a panic attack. So you're going to get fully anxious. Well, there's the biphasic effect, two different effects at two different doses. There is probably a biphasic effect associated with CBD as well. So these people who are taking 10 to 20 milligrams of CBD are seeing a slight reduction in anxiety. However, they're not seeing like anti-epileptic effects like you need for pediatric epilepsies. Those effects only happen at high dose ranges typically with most patients. That's one of the reasons you need to see a neurologist if you're taking CBD for seizure disorders, because you really need some guidance.
What is that kind of an average dosage for an epileptic for them to?
Oh, it's often as high as 600 milligrams. I mean, I think there were people in the GW Pharmaceuticals Epidiolex trial that were taking up to 1800 milligrams of CBD a day. I mean, that's 1.8 grams of pure CBD every day. And that comes with other side effects. I mean, the one thing is like THC has a tendency to slow down bowel transit, meaning constipate you. CBD makes that trade run. And so if you take a big dose of CBD, things might get a little loose.
Might have to take the next call from the bathroom.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
Don't mind that. I've got a bear in the room.
So the thing that I find interesting about CBD is that some people use it to go to sleep. I take it all day long. I have an epigenetic kind of roadmap and how I know how my endocannabinoid system works, and I got all nerdy. And so I take CBD consistently 5 or 6 times throughout the day. And it never makes me sleepy at all.
Okay. So the way I look at CBD is it's a homeostatic regulator. Okay. So it's trying to level out the teeter totter. There's our teeter totter. Okay. So it's trying to level out the teeter totter. And the thing is that I find most people are sleep deprived. And if they take CBD, they're going to get sleepy straight up because their body's trying to balance them out. Okay. Their body's trying to say, you need more sleep, pal. And you're so I'm going to make you sleepy right now. But what's really interesting is if they listen to the drug, if they listen to CBD and adjust their sleep pattern so they're getting more restful sleep, typically CBD, like I can't take CBD at night. It will keep me up. Okay. And I mean, it'll keep me up like a cup of coffee. And in fact, a lot of scientists who study CBD characterize CBD as wake promoting, not stimulating, but wake promoting. And man, for me, CBD is wake promoting. If I take CBD, I'm not speedy. It's not like I took caffeine, but I am awake. And so I use CBD a little bit like coffee. I like coffee too. So I'll take coffee in the morning and I'll take 10 milligrams of CBD and it's great. And it kind of reduces my social anxiety. A lot of people who are anxious use CBD in the morning because anxiety tends to, you know, get worse during the day. So if you interfere with that clock in the morning, you're not as anxious in the afternoon. And you're not as tired.
Yeah. I love that explanation. I hadn't heard that before. And that totally makes sense. You know, that if your body needs sleep to get to homeostasis, then yeah, you'll be lights out. Sleep is one of the most important things as far as my brain health. And so I get 8 to 9 hours a night.
It's fantastic.
So probably not.
No, it's not. I mean, the latest studies and they're recent studies, the latest studies show that people who get 8 to 9 hours of sleep a night are healthier human beings, period, and may live longer. I mean, it's really a big deal. Sleep is how your brain cleans your house, your brain's house. And that regulates so many functions throughout the body that the idea, you know, remember when your parents used to give you hell for sleeping in? The truth is it's really, really good for you. And so, you know, we should just tell these parents to back off.
That's right. Give them a nightcap.
Exactly. A chill pill. Yeah.
Well, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you'd like to share? How people can find Perfect Blends.
Yeah, you can find it if you go to our website, perfect-blends.com. It'll take you to our store if you're in California. And if you're not in California, well, we'll be coming to many states soon. So stay tuned. And we think we're onto something in the sense that, you know, we think you should get the effect you want every time, that it doesn't have to be an endless fishing expedition to catch the fish you want to eat. We think that you should be able to get the same product you want every time. And so that's what we're trying to do at Perfect. And so if you go check out our site, find out about us, and you can get in touch with me if you got a question for me, or you can find me on Instagram. I love to interact with people who are in, you know, different points along the journey with cannabis. The thing that's really fascinating about this new product, SexPot, is 75% of the people who try cannabis in the United States no longer use it. And a lot of them no longer use it because they had a dysphoric reaction to cannabis. They were sitting around with their buddy who smoked a lot of weed, and they got the person uncomfortably high. And that person said, "This is not for me." Well, I'm here to tell you that actually you were done a disservice. And if you try one of these products that we have, like SexPot that's coming up, that's buffered, it actually can allow you to feel what some people really enjoy about cannabis, which is the light euphoria, without losing control, without getting anxious, or any of the things that have typically been the downside of cannabis at high dose. And so, so we can bring some people back into the fold and give them something that can contribute to a better life that isn't really about impairment. It's about enhancement.
Amen. Yes. Cannabis has been enhancing my life for a long time, and you are answering a lot of the complaints that people have about, I don't know what my dose is. I can't count on it to give me the same, you know, experience every time. So this
If you get a jar of our flour, it comes a little micropipe that holds 75 milligrams. So you can find your dose really fast because we give you the tool. You don't have to like guess. You don't have to like get the right size pipe. You got it in your hand.
I'm so glad you just brought that back up, because earlier when you talked about that, your flour comes pre-ground.
Because that way it's easier to dose.
Well, and so anytime you talk to any kind of a cannabis connoisseur, they say you don't grind your flour until you're ready to smoke it. But because y'all have done your ultra fresh tech on it, then it's like you are getting all of those terpenes without the hassle of having to have a grinder.
And they're not in the air. You know, well, they're in the air right now because yours isn't back in the fridge. but yeah, what's great is when you get a jar of flour and you open it up, I mean, it's like being in the cure shed and it's ready to go. And so, yeah, there's no prep. You're just ready to go, which is great.
Well, I dig it. Thank you so much for hanging out today. It's been a pleasure. And thank you for Cannabis Pharmacy. You are the one that inspired me to do what I do.
I'll send you a copy of the new one.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you very much,
Michael. You're very welcome. Thanks, Joe.
All right. And thank you all for hanging out.
If you learned something today to up-level your relationship with cannabis, I hope you'll share this podcast with your smoke circle. Perhaps you're inspired to rate and review the podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. That one small action helps other canna-curious folks find this highly responsible cannabis content. And head over to the show notes at casuallybaked.com to learn more about Perfect Blends, Michael Backus, and his book, Cannabis Pharmacy. While you're there, check out the latest offers from Casually Baked partner brands like Aspen Green CBD, where you receive a 20% discount using promo code CB20. From beautiful and functional glass by Session Goods to quality seeds to the Canna DNA test, shopping podcast affiliates is a win-win because you're saving money on the things you want while supporting the production of this show. As always, email your requests or Canna Curious questions through the website or DM me on social. I'm at Casually Baked on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and the WeedTube. Listen, one thing I know for sure is that showing up for your community is the smoke circle of life. So however you decide to support our highly responsible cannabis movement, thanks for doing your part in your own perfect way. To Puff Puff, pass it on.
Yes, it's a high time. We had a high time together.
Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Jamie Humiston at PodConnects. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album, Gotta Get Back, wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.